Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. I want to preach on the subject, Joseph, the husband of Mary. And we want to read some verses at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Beginning our reading at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, or secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. We know the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his own word. Let's all bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And we thank thee that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to seek and to save that which was lost. O God, as we turn to thy precious word, now we pray that you would fill us afresh with thy gracious Holy Spirit, that we might know the leading and the guiding of the Lord as we preach thy word today. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless every head bowed in your presence. You know every need. O God, meet each and every one of us at the very point of our need. And especially those who are here today without Christ. O God, speak to their hearts. Show them their need of a Savior. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ will save precious souls if they call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray, Lord, that you would give men and women, young people, children, grace today to call in faith to Christ. O God, bless us now, therefore, as we turn to thy precious word. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The birth of Christ and his coming into the world as Savior is set forth in great detail in the Gospels. These details that are given to us, especially in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, leave us in no doubt that the true identity of the child born in the manger was none other than the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Surrounding this record that we have of the birth of Christ in the Bible, we are introduced to many interesting characters, many of which did eventually believe that the child born in Bethlehem was the Son of God. However, it is evident as you read the account of the Savior's birth that even those who were closely associated with the birth of Christ initially needed convincing of his true identity. None more so than the character that we want to study today, Joseph, the man who became the husband of Mary, the earthly mother of Christ. No one needed more convincing that the child who was going to be born in Bethlehem's manger was the Son of God than Joseph. I think that we can truly say at the beginning of the record in Matthew's Gospel concerning Christ's birth that Joseph was somewhat of a skeptic. But by the end of Matthew's record, we see clearly that Joseph believed and accepted that the one conceived in Mary's womb was the Son of the living God. And among other things in this study today, we're going to see what convinced Joseph of that great truth. Therefore, very simply, this afternoon, I want to draw your attention to this character that we read about in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph, the husband of Mary. And as we come to consider this character, I want you to notice four things about Joseph that we learn from Matthew chapter 1. And I want you to listen very carefully, and especially if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, I pray that God will write his word upon your heart. I believe that there's a word in season for you, but also for God's people. And I pray that those of us who are saved will learn from God's word today. First of all, I want you to notice the problem that Joseph faced. Look at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. Now, here's the problem that Joseph faced. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The problem that Joseph faced was that the woman he was engaged to be married was expecting a child. And Joseph knew that the child was not his. What a problem to face. Initially, Joseph believed that Mary had been unfaithful. At this point, Joseph was not aware that the child in Mary's womb was the Son of God. He was not aware that a divine miracle had taken place. We can hardly imagine the pain and hurt this news must have caused Joseph. The one he loved and was going to marry had now been unfaithful to him. Now, we all know that Mary had not been unfaithful to him, but Joseph was not to know this initially. And what was he to do? Well, I want you to notice what Joseph did when he first heard this news. Because what Joseph initially did reveals to us the gracious man that he was. Take a look with me there at verse 19. Then, after Joseph had heard that Mary was expecting a child, then Joseph, her husband being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Although he would put her away, that phrase simply means that Joseph would not go through with the marriage. Joseph would not now marry Mary. He would show compassion on her by not making her a public example, but would put her away privily, or if you like, put her away secretly, because that's what the word privily there means. You see, Joseph was a man not only of truth, but of grace. He demonstrated truth in that he would put her away and end the marriage agreement, but he demonstrated grace in that he would not do it in a public way. He would do it secretly. Now, he could have made a public example of her, but he chose not to do that. So we can see here his grace in this situation. Child of God, is there not a lesson there for you and I? Even when we're dealing with those who have done wrong to us, let us show grace in the midst of establishing truth. And you know, there's a wonderful text of Scripture over there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, and we read these words, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest I also be tempted." But I want you then to look at what Joseph did. Because although he made up his mind to put Mary away secretly and to break off this engagement, he did not do it immediately. Because when you take a look there at verse 20, you'll read these words. He thought on these things. While he thought on these things, he was not only a man of truth and one of grace, a man of grace, but he was a man of wisdom. He wanted to make sure that he was going to make the right decision. There's no doubt that Joseph here was confused. There's no doubt that as you look at this portion of Scripture, he could not fully understand what was happening. But before he made any major decision, he decided to wait and to think upon these things. Child of God, when we come to deal with problems in our Christian lives, we need to pray for grace, but we also need to pray for wisdom. And we need to make sure that we're making the right decisions. Many a decision has been made wrongly because of the fact that it has been made in haste. And here we have a wonderful example in the Bible of a man who is facing a serious problem. And he waits. He doesn't make a hasty decision. So we can see that he's not only a man of truth. He's going to deal with the problem. He's going to deal with it correctly. He's not only a man of grace, because he's not going to make a public example of Mary, but he's going to put her away secretly, privately. But he's also a man of wisdom, because as he faces this problem, he waits and he begins to think about this whole situation that he's found in here at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. Oh, child of God, I pray that as we come to deal with problems in our lives, that the Lord will give us grace and give us wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And although we have to obey the word of God, and although we have to live according to the word of God, and although we have to uphold the truth of God's word, let us do it graciously. And let us do it with hearts that are full of wisdom. And let us pray that the Lord will lead us and guide us in his will. So you can see the problem he had to face. And you can see how initially he started to deal with this problem. But then I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice, secondly, the message that Joseph heard. And we have the message that Joseph heard recorded from verse 20 and 21. Let's take a look at those verses for a moment. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son," here's the message, "and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, when you consider that message that Joseph heard, you notice a number of things. First of all, you notice that it brought comfort to his mind. After hearing this message, Joseph now knew that Mary had not been unfaithful to him. Joseph had been given heavenly enlightenment about Mary's condition. And what comfort this brought to his mind. Not only did it bring comfort to his mind, but it brought assurance to his heart. Joseph now knew that the one conceived in Mary's womb was a very special child, because the angel was revealing to him that this child had come about by divine intervention. The child had been conceived in Mary's womb by the miracle of the Holy Ghost. The child, in other words, was the Messiah. And Joseph would have known about the prophecies concerning the Messiah in the Old Testament. Therefore, this message confirmed to Joseph that the child in Mary's womb was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And Joseph now was assured of this through the message of the angel of God. So you can see how important this message was to Joseph. But it did something else. It brought salvation to his soul. Joseph now knew that this child in Mary's womb was the only one who could save the souls of men and deliver them from their sins. And we have that, of course, in verse 21, when the angel said in the message, "She shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So not only did this wonderful message comfort his mind and give assurance to his heart, but it brought salvation to his soul. But notice something else here about this message. It brought responsibility to his life. The angel, as he delivered this message to Joseph, gave Joseph a command. And the command was simple. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Did you notice that? In verse 21, the angel, as he delivered this message to Joseph, gave Joseph a command. Joseph's responsibility was to make sure that he called the child Jesus. My, what a responsibility God placed upon the shoulders of Joseph. When the child was born, he had the responsibility of naming the child. And he had to name the child Jesus. God gave him grace and strength to carry out his responsibility. We're going to see that just in a moment. But men and women, in this message of the angel to Joseph, we see the effect on sinners when they believe the message of the gospel. What happens when a sinner believes the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, a number of things happen when someone is gloriously saved and believes the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their minds receive comfort, their hearts receive assurance, their souls receive salvation, and their lives receive a new purpose. There's no peace and joy like the peace and joy that salvation brings. There's no comfort and assurance like the comfort and assurance that salvation brings. My, the gospel changes lives. And of course, the message that Joseph heard was the message of the gospel. That a Savior had come. And that a Savior was going to redeem his people from their sins. I wonder today, as we meet in God's house this Lord's Day, has the message of the gospel had that effect upon your heart and your life? Indeed, are you saved today and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? What does the message of the gospel mean to you? Maybe there's someone here today and you're not saved. And you know nothing of comfort in your mind and assurance in your heart and salvation in your soul. Your life has never been changed. Oh, I pray before this year goes out into eternity that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And that even this Lord's Day, that you will turn from your sin and seek the Lord, because we have a wonderful message for you. And the message is still the same, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul could say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And as we're going to see just in a moment, Joseph believed the message that he heard concerning the babe. Joseph accepted what the angel told him. My friend, I wonder, have you ever believed the message of the gospel? Have you ever accepted the message from God's precious word? The Bible tells us clearly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God if you were to come today and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. Your soul would be saved, and saved eternally. And of course you have a soul that needs to be saved. And thank God your soul would be redeemed for time and for eternity. Your heart would have the assurance that you were going to heaven. There's no greater blessing than to know that you're going to heaven and that you'll never be in hell. And you'd have peace of mind. You'd be able to lay your head on the pillow tonight and know that if you were to die in the night, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and your life would be changed forever. There's no doubt that this incident in Joseph's life changed his life forever. He was never going to be the same again. My friend, once you hear and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer, your life is never the same again. Oh, I pray that you will respond positively to the message of the gospel and turn from your sin and seek the Lord. And he would give you everlasting life, even this very day. He would change you for time and for eternity. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. But notice something else here about Joseph. Not only the problem he faced and how he faced it, not only the message he heard and how he responded to that message, but I want you to notice the woman Joseph married. I want you to notice a number of things about the woman Joseph married here. Joseph married the woman God told him to marry. Did you ever notice that? I'm sure that you have read this portion of Scripture many, many times. Look with me there at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Although Joseph had many fears at the beginning concerning marrying Mary, he obeyed the word of God. Take a look again at verse 20, the latter part of it, and you'll see there that when the angel appeared unto Joseph, he instructed Joseph, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. And of course, when we come to verse 24, we see that Joseph obeys, and Joseph marries the woman God told him to marry. You know, men and women, we would have happier marriages if people married according to God's will. The truth is, many marriages would not take place if Christians sought the will of God for who they should marry. And surely there's a wonderful lesson here for us all, but especially young people, young person. Make sure when you marry in the will of God. You marry the person that the Lord wants you to marry. Now, in order to do that, you've got to find out God's will. And in order to find out God's will, you've got to pray about the matter. And there's no more important matter to pray about than who you're going to marry, who your life's partner is going to be. And here we see Joseph marrying the woman that God told him to marry. And notice something else. Joseph married a woman who knew and loved the Lord. There's no doubt that Mary was a young girl who loved the Lord. Turn over with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And look what it says here concerning Mary in verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, this is Mary, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, it doesn't say, blessed art thou above women. We're not to worship Mary. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church is wrong for worshipping Mary. And it's blasphemous to worship anyone but to worship God. But notice here how Mary is described. She is described as highly favored. She is described as one that is blessed among women. And she's described as one that the Lord is with. The Lord is with thee. She knew the Lord. She was saved by the grace of God. She loved the Lord. Look with me there at verse 38 of the same chapter. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She was a humble woman, but she was one that served the Lord. Look at verse 46 of the same chapter. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She was one who praised the Lord. And my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is his name. She reverenced the name of the Lord. And she confessed that the Lord had done for her great things. Oh, young Christian, marry someone who knows and loves the Lord. If you're praying for a partner in life, and I certainly hope that you are, I pray that the Lord will lead you and guide you to the one that's saved and the one that loves the Lord. And the Bible, of course, emphasizes the unequal yoke. We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And of course, this church will not marry a saved person with an unsaved person. And I believe that is scriptural. And that's why it is so important when you're praying for a partner for life that you marry in God's will and you marry someone who knows and loves the Lord. And I believe that can be seen here, even in the story of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Notice something else about this woman. Joseph's marriage was blessed of God after he did eventually marry Mary. It was blessed of God. Why was it blessed of God? Well, Joseph's marriage was blessed of God because Christ was the center of their marriage relationship. Their marriage centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if we want a happy marriage, and if we want God's blessing in our marriage, then our marriage must be centered around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that Christ will be the head of all of our homes, especially at this Christmas time, but not only at this Christmas time, throughout every week of the year, throughout every day of the year, that in our homes, the Lord Jesus will be uplifted and exalted. And if he is, then our homes will indeed be happy homes. Notice something else before we finish. Turn back again to Matthew chapter 1. I want you to notice, fourthly, the declaration Joseph made. And we have that declaration in verse 25. We have already said that when Joseph received the message from the angel, he had a great responsibility, and the responsibility was to make sure that when the child was born, that his name was called Jesus. And of course, Joseph was faithful to that command. And he makes this wonderful declaration in verse 25. And he knew her not, that was Mary, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called, here's the declaration, and he called his name Jesus. In this declaration, Joseph was obedient to the command of God. Verse 20 and verse 25, we've already noticed that when we compare those two verses, in verse 20, he was instructed what to do. In verse 25, he obeys that instruction. But he was obedient. In this declaration, Joseph was faithful in declaring the truth because he declared that Jesus was the Savior, because that's, of course, what the name Jesus means. It means Savior. So, Joseph believed that the one that was born of Mary was the Savior of the world. He believed that the one that was born of Mary was none other than the Son of God. And thank God, that is the truth. There's only one Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And thank God, this declaration that Joseph made when he called his name Jesus is still the same declaration that we make today, is still the same message that we preach today. Because there's only one Redeemer. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself declared when he walked upon this scene of time, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, let me emphasize again this truth to your heart. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior. I wonder, do you know this Savior, this Lord's Day? Is he your Savior? The Bible declares that he is the Savior, the only Savior, but is he your Savior? Do you know him in a personal way? Can you look back to that day in your life when you turned from your sin and sought the Lord and found eternal redemption through his name? Oh, there is a name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, devils, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Thank God, he breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. And thank God, if you are held by sin today, thank God he can set you free and give you everlasting life. And he can and will redeem you for time and for eternity if you come and put your faith and trust in him this afternoon. I wonder, as we leave God's house in a few moments' time, will you leave with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior? Will you leave knowing that you've been redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ? Will you leave God's house today rejoicing in God your Savior? Oh, I pray that you will. And that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will trust the Lord as your own and personal Redeemer. I pray that God will bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for the truths and the lessons that we learn even from this passage of Scripture. And O God, we pray that you would bless thy word to our hearts this afternoon. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to all of our souls. And, O God, we pray especially for those in the meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God, still on the broad way which leads to hell and destruction. We ask thee, Lord, that you would draw them lovingly to the foot of the cross and save them for time and for eternity. O God, we pray that you would help us this day not to forget the one who came to this earth to be the Savior of the world. And Lord, help us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee that he came to die. He was born to go to the cross. And there upon the cross, laid down his life a ransom for the many. O God, I pray that each and every one here would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. For it's in his precious name we ask it. Amen.